Live to Lviv now, and Joseph Lindsley. Joseph, hello to you. I hope you had a good weekend.
Bob, yes, good afternoon from snowy Lviv. And over the weekend, I was in the Carpathian Mountains, a little bit south of here in southern Ukraine. And I went to a small retreat of Ukrainian volunteers, people who have for nearly 10 months now used their talent and time and especially energy to work for victory in different ways. And, you know, even in the mountains, you sort of feel protected. I mean, for millennia, the Hutsul people, the Boyko people who live there have resisted invasions from all different kinds of empires. And there have been many terrible battles fought in those places. But it looks so peaceful in the snow tucked away in these valleys where you feel like no one could find you. But even there, you feel the effect of war. Frequently, there was no power. There was no heat. But fortunately, the people of the Carpathians, you know, they've know how to survive. So they have great fireplaces. And I still had amazing borscht in the dark, even though there was no power or heat. And the event I attended, it was called Zlit, which is a Ukrainian word that means when you have a flock of birds, it's a point where the birds converge when they land on the ground. And the organizer and hostess, she's an architect and an artist named Olya. And she had invited all these people who have really given everything they have these past 10 months to come and recharge. You know, last week, as we spoke, I described to you that idea of from the artist in Kharkiv that we have to be a power bank for each other. We have to be a, you know, battery backup for each other. And so the idea here was for people to get together and to recharge and to figure out how to better cooperate. And so I really saw this is the strength of Ukrainian democracy. It's this thing called civil society where people don't wait to be told what to do. They figure out how they can work together. And one of the the clear themes from the weekend was, you know, Vladimir Putin and his team at the Kremlin, when they planned this invasion, they clearly didn't plan. They didn't factor in the idea of the free people of Ukraine working together in civil society. They thought they were taking on a government and a military. And Russia, because Russia doesn't have a concept of free people who collaborate with each other. But you see that the society, you know, it takes a toll on everyone. As I saw, and some of these people I'd seen in different parts of the country as we travel around working to help each other. You do need these moments to recharge. And they had invited a friend of mine, Brett Hill. He's a musician from Ohio. And he came to sing for the Ukrainians. And so just imagine we're on this mountaintop. You had to walk 300 steps from the place where we stayed to get to the place where the events were. 300 steps to keep, you know, good way to stay fit for war. And we're in this glass building on a mountaintop in the dark because the power was cut out. We had some battery-powered Christmas lights. And everyone was singing. And the American led everyone in singing this song that he wrote about the war here, kind of in the tradition of American Appalachian protest music. And so everyone was singing these words in English. That's how the war is won. That's how the war is won. It's the courage of the common man. That's how the war is won. And it was so powerful to because as I heard those words, to see everyone around me, many people with tears in their eyes, you know, knowing that they've given almost everything they have and that, you know, it's not over and there's still a lot more work to be done. And after we sang that, these traditional musicians came in the full costume, and they helped a lot of Ukrainians remember some of their traditions. We danced for hours in the traditional set dances of Ukrainian culture. And I think, you know, some people might say, how could you be dancing and singing in wartime? But it's as Olya, the artist who created this place, MC6, the name of her place, she said, you know, especially in war, we must not forget who we are. You know, we must have a vision of what victory will look like. And as the American musician Brett said, he said, you know, we can't let the hate overtake our hearts. You know, so we need moments of joy to remember, you know, what it is we're all fighting for. And so it really was a moment of recharge. And as I was preparing to leave the next day, walking down these 300 steps on the icy in the snow, I ran into a Ukrainian girl there, and she said to me, you know, last night she said it was a recharge. She said, we all found our inner child. And then she was smiling as she said that. And then she paused and she looked down at the snow at her boots And she said in a very somber, quiet voice, because life must go on. And then she said goodbye. And this is the, you know, from that moment, as we all exited, you know, we know that there's still lots of hard work to be done. These are people who are constructing drones. They're working on creating better tech. They're working on better ways to deliver supplies to soldiers and to raise money. And so from that moment of recharge, now we're back here and it's Monday. It's a day where we typically expect some kind of infrastructure attack. So far, it is calm. But at least for those who attended that event in the mountains, there is some renewed energy.
Russia clearly underestimated the strength and fortitude of the Ukrainian people. And you certainly bring us their stories so well here every day, Joseph. 1.5 million people in the region were in the dark over the weekend because of those Russian drone strikes on Odessa. How is everyone holding up, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, Odessa is a city that had been spared a lot of direct attacks, but now the infrastructure is being hit quite significantly. And I talked to my friends there that, you know, the Odessans are, it's almost like the Free Republic of Odessa. They're very fiercely independent, very proud people. And, more and more people are getting generators. You're learning to live by candlelight, just as we were in the mountains. Often it is. Odessa, as we talked before, is a city of good humor and jokes and music. And so whether, you know, it was my weekend in the Carpathians or people in Odessa, I was talking to my friends there, and they were, you know, they still have music and they keep going. So this is people learn to adapt. And I was traveling the past couple of weeks. I was showing around, as I mentioned to you all, the Canadian YouTuber. His channel is called The New Travel, and he just left today. And as he left, it reflecting on everything he'd seen from Saltivka, that, you know, absolutely destroyed neighborhood in eastern Ukraine, 30 miles from Russia, to the mountains. He said, if you take the word Ukraine and you have a word for each letter of Ukraine, he said the words would be this: understanding knowledge rarely acquired in normal existence. And, wow. You know, here, because of these challenges, because of the power challenges, because of all the uncertainty, everyone is forced to, you know, I think Silicon Valley people would say 10X, you know, to really live in a maximum way. And, you know, if you have an idea, you can always find someone to collaborate with. It's an incredible energy. So even if we don't have the electrical energy, we have this amazing human energy throughout this country.
Yeah, it's really, really unbelievable. And one other quick thing before we let you go, Joseph, we were talking about the celebrities who traveled to Ukraine, and you mentioned that you don't see too many of them because of where you are. But one of our listeners texted, didn't Joseph see Liev Schreiber? I think you did, didn't you?
I did, and I was an idiot because I was in my this was early in the war. I was in my regular cafe, which everyone knows, Fatset, in Lviv, and a guy came in there and he was filming the cafe. And back then we were so worried about Russian spies, and so I gave him kind of an angry look as the camera's panning in my direction. And then 2 days later, people told me, oh, Liev Schreiber was at your regular cafe, and he posted on Instagram that video, and then it cuts off right before you get to my face. So, yeah, we could have been friends, but alas.
Next time. Thanks, Joseph. We'll talk tomorrow. Be well.
Thank you, Bob.